Hey everybody, welcome to Tall But True. Ben Bailey here with my good friend DC Benny.
Hey man.
What's up, dude? How are you?
I don't know. I'm feeling kind of nautical today.
Well, that's appropriate. It's almost as if you knew that our guest today is none other than Captain John Hillstrand of the Time Bandit from Deadliest Catch. Are you there, Jonathan?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, buddy. Yeah, thanks for being on. What's up?
Yeah, I wish I'd have come up and seen you.
I was going to make you a root beer float, I promise.
That's a good story there.
Jonathan came to my old house once, and I was like, "What's up? Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? You know, you want something to drink?" Yeah. He was like, "I'd like a root beer float."
He's in touch with his inner child. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, I found that root beer, but he didn't know where the hell it came from. He's going, "Where did you find the root beer?"
I
never passed up on a root beer float.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I didn't even know we had root beer or ice cream, but
now I feel like one of those.
Man. I know, yeah. Fuck it, let's do root beer floats, man.
Nope. I can never pass up a root beer float. My dad, granddad used to give them to us, so we let them shave our heads. And my mom used to get not like their head shaved. We were like, back then when his long hair was in, you know.
Right. Oh, he couldn't get you guys to cut your hair, so he'd bribe you with root beer floats?
Yeah, root beer float. We'd let him shave our head. Sitting there eating a root beer float.
That's great.
That's pretty awesome.
I do that with the dog. When I want to give him a bath, I smear peanut butter on the tub, and he hates getting a bath, and he just licks at the peanut butter. It distracts him from how much he hates.
You put it on the side of the bathtub?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I want a root beer floats and a peanut butter sandwich. Where are you, John? Where are you, buddy?
I'm in Baltimore hanging out with a buddy.
And oh, cool.
Fly over to Missouri and do a big fireworks shoot. Fireworks Over America sells Time Bandit fireworks, which are great.
Your own brand of fireworks?
Yeah, called Time Bandit Fireworks.
No shit. Where can people get those?
I should send some to you. Anywhere Fireworks Over America sells.
Oh, okay.
Just look them up on the internet or Fireworks Over America, and then or just crunch in Time Bandit Fireworks. And
you'll find them.
That's so cool. I have never met anybody that had their own brand of fireworks.
Yeah.
We used to buy like $6,000-$7,000 of fireworks every year and shoot them off in the bay in the summer on the boat on 4th of July. Uh-huh. And then when we started the show, they started showing us fireworks off. And that company called us up and said, "Hey, we'll give you a fireworks for free." And we're like, perfect match.
You're like, "Well, let us think about that."
Yeah.
Okay.
Send us 2 pallets, like 8-foot-tall pallets of fireworks every year. And then they started wrapping them with our name on.
Awesome.
So now we got our own fireworks. It's going to be better.
That's awesome, man.
Marriage made in heaven there.
So you guys, because they're still illegal some places, right? Is it because you're far enough offshore that you can do it, or...?
Yeah, you can. Our insurance companies won't let us blow them off anymore. We got a letter from them, so we're a little bit out of control there.
Once you guys were launching people, greenhorns on rockets, they're like, "This has gone far enough."
Yeah, they no firearms either. They said so. No firearms and no fireworks, no insurance. Anyway, so I was trying to think of a good story to tell you, and I got a couple. If you have time for a couple stories.
Oh, absolutely, man. And I know you have good stories because I was just reading your kid's book. How many guys do you know that have their own fireworks brand and are the author of children's books?
That would be Renaissance Man right there.
Forget I'm a published author. They turned out all right.
Yeah, they're good, man. And you did the drawings too, right?
You got to have a good values come out of it. You got to have a good story and then a good lesson to be learned out of it. So. They turned out pretty good.
You can be anything you want. That's the lesson of that one.
You put your mind to it, there's nothing you can't do. Yep.
That's great.
That's awesome.
And then the third book, my mom actually cried when she read the end when they were searching for the world's greatest treasure. And their dad gave them a map, and then the little pirate bird and two crab brothers go find the greatest treasure in the world, and they dig it up, and it's baby pictures of them. They're the world's greatest treasure. It was them. Oh, it's love.
Wow, dude.
My mom started crying like, I don't even know how I came up with that. I didn't even know the end of the story until I was drawing the pictures at the end and go, it's not going to be gold or silver, it's candy. It's never candy, it's pictures of them, baby pictures. So.
Wow, man.
That's great.
Family. It's all about family.
Yeah, it's all about family, yep. It's hard to write a good book, man. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, let alone three of them, while you're blowing fireworks off.
Yeah, right, yeah. Drinking root beer floats.
Captaining a ship, drinking root beer floats.
Like we had, I grew up with seven brothers, man. We had, there's eight of us.
Now, wait a minute. Isn't that how? Isn't that why the boat is the Time Bandit?
Yeah, well, my dad loved that movie, The Time Bandit, with five little guys, little people, beating each other up and traveling through time.
Yeah.
And so there was five brothers that owned the boat originally, and then we bought the two other brothers out. One of them was the lead maintenance guy on the slope, oil for oil, and the other guy's a doctor who runs a hospital in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
You know, I wish I would have followed them because I was a doctor, damn it. Crap, stinky crabber.
You wouldn't have as many great stories.
Yeah, well, let me give you a good story about a guy. We lost a few fingers and toes on the boat out the years. And a guy, Ron, his name was Ron, he chopped his finger off in the bait chopper. And Danny, my buddy Danny Brown, gave him a bad time. You know, we had to run into town. They couldn't put the finger back on and everything. So exactly 1 week later, and Danny chops his finger off, same finger on his left hand, the middle finger, chops his finger off in the bait chopper, same place.
Oh, shit.
So we run into town, and we have his finger in the cold cut drawer in the refrigerator, and my brother Andy takes the finger, and he slips it to me, and he puts Beanie Weenie in the bag. And so I got his finger in my pocket, and he's got the Beanie Weenie with the ice on it. He takes it to the doctor and rolls it out. The doctor's looking at the Beanie Weenie. He can't put that on.
Wait, what's a Beanie Weenie?
It's a little hot dog.
Oh, it's...
I was afraid to ask.
I'm like, I don't know what a Beanie Weenie is. So he put a tiny hot dog in there instead of his finger.
Like a Vienna sausage.
Could you put this back on, doctor? I got his finger in my pocket. I pull it out. It was all white and gross. They could have put it back.
Oh. Anyways, oh, Jesus, man.
Another finger stories.
That's good.
Guys get hurt out there. Get hurt out there when it's calm because you get complacent. And when it's storming out, you know, you're never more alive. You can hear better, see better, smell. All your senses are heightened.
Yeah.
And when it's really calm and slax.
Yeah, you lay off.
The guys stop their fingers or toes off. They're thinking about something else somewhere else and not there. And bam, they get their finger cut off.
So it's not so much the bait chopper thing. It's just being too relaxed around the bait chopper.
Yeah. Let your guard down. You know, get complacent.
Yeah. Jesus.
We lost a couple boats this year. Lost eight guys out there. Total. That was a pretty bad hit for the fleet. I don't know if you told me the deadliest catch where we fish crab in the Bering Sea. Anyway, so
everybody knows what you guys do. But yeah, Jonathan's Deadliest Catch, veteran captain from Deadliest Catch. It's Tuesdays at 9, right?
Yeah, Tuesdays at 9.
New season right now.
Yeah. So is this an evil season? This one's going to be one of the worst ones we've had. And like I said, we lost a couple boats. And the King Cove, you know, there's only 22 families there or something. And they lost, you know, three or four of those families lost their kids. Or four of them, I think, were from King Cove. So it's a pretty big hit on a little town like that. Mm. But anyway, so prayers go out to them. And but just an evil season. The weather was just relentless and sub-freezing temperatures. And we left St. Matthew Island was anchored up there. And we traveled 3 days. This is when we were finishing up. 3 days south, 74 hours later, we left, it was minus 40 degrees, and it was 70 degrees warmer when we got to the Pacific side, and still 30 degrees, it's still freezing, but 70 degrees warmer.
Oh my
evil.
God.
That's evil out there. That's how cold it was.
Jesus, man. Jeez. What is that? Are you like building a railroad over there? Or is there a...
Yeah, there
is. You're always working, man. You're doing an interview.
Yeah.
You're running new tracks across the property.
Carantini weenies in the pocket. Hey.
Yeah.
Jesus, man.
So that's a... That's but you love stuff. That job. I mean, to do all that, you just... I mean, you got to love it.
Yeah, you got to want to be out there. And then you get good money. Like, the guys made $54,000 in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Fishing the Opelio. But, you know, they paid for it. We put on... You got to watch the show. It was a... We literally put on like 300 tons of ice on the boat in like 6 hours in an ice storm in the, like in a half inch cables, like 3 feet around, and you'd have to tip all that off. That's what we went up and anchored by St. Matthew Island. And every spray you take, it just freezes.
So you gotta be out there. The guys gotta be out there in that, chipping it off?
Yeah, you gotta get hammers and metal pipes and crowbars and just start pounding ice off, or else you'll roll over. So that's what happened to the, one of the boats that went down this season. They took on too much ice. And, then you, your boat gets so much to where there's more weight on top than there is on the bottom. It's like a pendulum, and you roll over on your side. And if your doors aren't dogged, or you have somewhere where the water can get in and fill your engine room up, or your rear lazarette, or your galley, and then you sink immediately.
So I remember, I'll never forget when I hosted After the Catch, which
that was fun.
That was so much fun. That's when I really connected with all you guys. One of my favorite things I ever did. But to my surprise, we ended up interviewing, I ended up interviewing you guys along with some of the guys from the Katmai, which was the...
Oh, that's right. The boat that sank.
That boat going right? down that season.
Yeah, so that was terrible.
Man, it's... it's, I don't know. It almost feels like, oh, there's a show now about this, at least one show, right? And you guys are on camera all the time. It's surely it'll become less dangerous at some point, or they won't, you know, but it doesn't. It's really dangerous thing that you guys do, man.
Yes. I forgot about it. There's so many boats that we've lost, and it's just normal for us, you know, but and then I step back and look at it, and it's not normal, but
yeah.
Yeah, so
I remember one of the guys was like, say, I can't remember his name. He had quit. He was out there for a couple of seasons. Then he was like, "Nah, I'm done, man." And he tried to live on land. And he was a mailman.
Oh, that's
that'll drive you back to the city.
He was the meter maid.
And he was like, "I gotta get back out on the fucking ocean, man." Dogs were attacking him. He's like, I can't get by in these neighborhoods anymore.
Yeah.
What was his name?
You know, Mike Fortner. It was Fortner.
Fortner, that's right. He's a good dude. I remember hanging with him too. Yeah.
Then he had the pepper spray, and he said the dog gave him a bad look, and he let him have it.
Dog gave him a bad look.
Pepper sprayed him.
That's great.
That's the one big meter maid. That's just a howl thinking of him. He's 6'6".
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah,
300 pounds. Yeah,
he's a big. I'm a big guy, and he's a guy. You shake his hand, you're like, wow,
what a monster!
Yeah. He's a strong, giant, super strong guy.
When we first got him, he only weighed 160. He's like 6'2", and then he was 16 or 17 years old.
Yeah, he wasn't full grown.
No, yeah, we put another 140 pounds on him. He drinks a gallon of milk every day.
Oh, my God.
Nobody does that. Nobody does that. It's like 1942 diet.
A whole box of egg waffles and a bowl and a box of cereal. And then he'll come back in, and after a string, he's hungry again. Created a monster.
That's how I was when I was like 18, 20. Just eating pretty much continuously and downing lots of milk. Because I remember those milk commercials where the skinny kid got big and strong.
Yeah.
I might be small now, but I'm drinking milk.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kick your fucking ass.
That's exactly how that commercial went.
That's what it was. It was like the kid's going to, I'm going to drink milk and then you'll see. Funny, man.
When are you going to be touring again, coming back to Seattle so you can hang out again?
I don't know. I think in the fall, I think, I'll be out in Seattle and, some other place that's further east in Washington that I can't remember. I might do two clubs.
Yeah. Everyone's got to come see the show. It's a pretty damn good show there.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. We had a good time.
I laughed so hard. You're funny. You never do the same. I went two nights in a row and you never did the same routine. It was just winged it. Really good at winging that stuff.
Thanks, man.
That's pretty funny, man.
Sometimes I get bored of my own jokes, and so I just have to fuck around to keep it fun for me.
Yeah. So Sig looks like he's doing a lot better.
Yeah.
And I was sort of mad that he's out fishing so soon, but he, you know, anyway.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. So our buddy Sig had a heart attack. Everybody doesn't watch the show, but and it was on tape. And
yeah.
And it was serious. And
he was a guest on here.
Oh, he was already?
Yeah. Yeah. He was drunk too, the bastard. Yeah, yeah. And he called in. He'd been drinking.
Oh, he'd been drinking.
he hammered Ben Bailey too.
Dude, we call him. He gets on. He goes, "You're a fucking nerd."
Oh, God.
The first thing he said, I'm like, uh-oh. Sigger's got a couple of drinks to him.
You have six drinks before you interview to get a better story.
Yeah, Una was sitting there. I'm like, Una, what are you doing letting him drink? It was funny. We've been talking about it a lot, actually. Yeah. He talked about you a little bit.
Yeah, man.
He was talking about some night in the city you guys were drinking with some cops.
Oh, he stole a limo.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was with you that night.
Oh, were you with us when he asked the guy, "How tall are you?" And the guy gets out and jumps his feet and takes off. We're in the back, trapped in the back of
him. Right. I forgot the "how tall are you" part.
Yeah, and he goes, "Get out. Let me see how tall you are." And the guy gets out, he jumps his feet, takes off. Limo driver's chasing us.
Let me see how tall you are. And it works.
He fell for the trick.
So we ended up.
How truthful are you? Tall and truthful.
You actually met Emma, who's now my girlfriend, that night.
Yeah.
We went to the bar that she was working at the end of the night. We went in there.
Yeah. She's a great lady.
Yeah. She was just on this last episode. She was our guest.
The Beast.
And we were talking about...
You're the Beast.
Yeah. And we were talking about... We ended up talking about, like, rats and varmints and stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, this is what Jonathan said. He had a great story about.
Yeah. I got a good squirrel story for you.
Damn. First of all,
like, little squirrels in Alaska, they're red squirrels. And they're evil little things.
First of all, I just love that I now have audio of you saying, "I've got a great squirrel story."
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, this should be it. My next kid's book will be about this damn squirrel.
So this squirrel is like a red squirrel. Is it? How big is it?
They're like 7 inches tall, maybe. They're a little,
okay.
Like a little bit bigger than a weasel.
Okay.
You know, half the size of a brown squirrel, like, you know, the regular brown squirrels. But anyway, he had this nest up in the attic, and I knew he was up there. And he got a girl. There was a couple, two of them, and they had a baby.
He had a little squirrel.
They started
concubine.
They'd fight up there. They'd fight up there, and you can hear them just fighting, barking.
Domestic
at each other.
Quarrel.
So that's when I went up to get rid of them, and I went up there, and there's like 8 foot nest up there. I swear to God, everything had bottle caps, all this kind of shit. It was just a huge nest, and they ripped all my insulation down, and it was just massive nest up there. And it pops up and hisses at me. And it
jumped squirrel.
At me. Yeah, the squirrel jumped at me. So I pop back down. I go, "F this guy." And I have these three big cats, my girlfriend.
You can say fuck.
So I threw these fucking cats up in the attic, all three of them, and shut the lid. And I hear this. noise
you threw
on.
Three cats in there with three the squirrels?
the noise sort of stops for a while. And I open the lid, and here comes one, two, three, just right off my head, you know, flying out of that attic.
The cats coming back out?
Oh, yeah, they're running for their lives. their noses are all cut. The third one, I go, "You're going back up there." And I grab him to throw him back up. He was the biggest one. He looked like Sylvester, black and white cat. And he hangs onto my arm. He won't let go.
Oh.
I jumped three times, and then he actually left a claw on my forehead when he jumped off and used my head to get away from me. Back up there. So I got this, I get this lamp plugging into a tension cord, and I got my shotgun, and I go up, and as soon as I see the light on the squirrel, and he's hanging from the raptor, and he hisses at me, I swear to God, the light comes unplugged from the extension cord, and the shotgun goes off. He lands right on my neck. So I left the shotgun and lamp up there and go back down, shut the lid, and I let him. I sold the house with the squirrels in. The squirrels in it.
Oh my God, dude!
This thing was jumped right at my neck.
You, you went into your attic with a lamp on an extension cord and a shotgun.
I shot a hole right in the floor, right over. So at night I have to put something around my neck because the squirrel's gonna look, you know, look at me through the ceiling and jump down my neck.
He jumped on your neck.
Yeah, right on my neck. I think it was going for the juggler, man.
Holy shit. So you patched up the hole and sold the house with the squirrels in the attic.
Sold the house with the squirrels. Squirrels one, Jonathan zero.
Well, we bought our first house. This is out in Brooklyn. You know, you don't think of wildlife so much in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
So it was the night we
just
moved in.
Just human wildlife.
Yeah, just people, right? You know, nutbags. The night we moved, we had scaffolding in the front of the house because we were taking off this asbestos shingle that was in the front, and there was cedar wood underneath. So we're restoring that, right?
Right.
So I'm in bed with my wife, and I go to sleep. In the middle of the night, she wakes up. She's like, "There's somebody in the house, right? There's somebody in the house." And I'm already stressed out. I'm like, I never had a mortgage before. I never had this, that. I'm like, we talk about it. She's like, "Listen," and I hear this like boom, 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 right? And she's like, you "Go do something." So I'm in my underwear. I go out. I look all over the goddamn house. I can't find where's this coming from? So I go back upstairs, and the room next to the bedroom, which is facing the window, which is facing the street, where the scaffolding is leaned up against, the noise is coming from there. So I open up the door, and there's a raccoon, a huge raccoon, has climbed in up the scaffolding into the window, and is in the room on this little ladder like she had for decoration. Oh, and it turns around at me, and I'm half asleep. I'm in my underwear. I got one nut hanging out. I mean, it's just, I feel totally vulnerable. And it turns around and looks at me and goes, "Nyan, nyan, 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 nyan." Right? So I like try to throw a shirt on it. Nothing works. I'm trying to get it to put it back out the window. And then my wife is like, "Just shut the fucking door and leave him in there and he'll be gone tomorrow." And that's what happened. The next day I opened up, it was gone, but there were little footprints all over the walls.
Like all over everything. Like,
right, but I'll never forget that noise. That
I could go either way and shutting the door and leave the window open. You could have two the next day.
Yeah, that could have happened.
Okay, found a nice little place for us. Yeah. Tell the kids, get the kids, we're moving in.
We're moving in.
I was right here in my office, right next to where the studio is one night, and I keep hearing like a noise outside, and I'm like, what is that? Finally, I get the light, and I shut it out. There's six raccoons, right next to where we are now, right under the deck. We had barbecued, and we left a bag with some corn husks in it.
Oh.
And there's a family of raccoons on my deck just eating it. And I shine a light on them. I'm 10 feet away from them. And they look up at me like, yeah?
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
What is it? What do you want?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't run. They were not afraid at all.
Yeah. They're robust animals.
They're pretty evil. I mean, they could hurt you pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. We were always taught that you stay away from raccoons. They're dangerous.
Yeah.
And when my sister had a dog, a big Malamute, giant wolf dog.
Those are huge, those dogs.
Yeah. And she was a dog that required a beware of dog sign for the yard.
Yeah. Did you ever get in a raccoon fight?
My sister saw there's a raccoon in the yard one night, and her dog was out there. Poetry was her name. And she ran inside and called my dad and said, "There's a raccoon in the yard and Poetry's out there." And my dad made some suggestions. And by the time she got back outside, Poetry was standing outside the door with a dead raccoon in her mouth.
Poetry in motion.
Poetry in motion. Grabbed it, got it by the neck, and just click.
Wow.
Over in like no time. So we were like, all right, we were right to be afraid of raccoons, but...
Yeah, but you got Poetry.
Yeah. But Poetry is a badass.
Badass. Yeah, because I've seen dogs get beat up by raccoons. I've seen them lose that fight.
Yeah.
You know.
You didn't set that up. Was there bedding involved?
I had a friend. We were hanging out at a bar one night, and we went out after. He was like, "I got to go pee in this alley." Right? So I'm like, all right. So I'm waiting for him to pee in the alley. All of a sudden, he comes booking out of this alley because he was behind the dumpster peeing. Comes booking out of the alley. He's got an opossum on his back. And it just falling off. He had his dick hanging out. He's running. And he's, he has an opossum on his back. He's like, ah! It just fell off the trash can or something landed on him. Like, it was so funny.
We got won this raffle once, and we got this turkey, and his name is Earl Thomas, and we didn't eat him, we just kept him as a pet, and about a year goes by, that thing got like 70 pounds, it was huge, and it would always sit there and flap its wings like on its chest and stuff.
Right. Started, wait, what was his name?
Earl Thomas.
Why was his name Earl Thomas?
Tom Dooley deal, you know, Earl Thomas, the turkey, whatever, I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, he got evil and started packing people. And he would attack women because they were carrying. I figured it out later on. So I was carrying the trash out, and he hit me from behind off the top, up the, like 6 feet up in the air off the porch, hit me from behind, and then took the bag, jumped on top of that bag, and starts doing his thing to it, making love to this garbage bag.
To a garbage bag.
He was just sexually frustrated. So he was trying to get the purses and trying to get laid. And so he would like run up. He pushed his chest and wouldn't let me drive my car into the driveway. He'd run up in the truck and push his chest against the bumper. I said, are you kidding?
He wouldn't let you out of the truck.
He wouldn't let me out of the truck. I had the shovel. I was fighting with the shovel one day, and he started, like, loving to spur at me. This is a big turkey. It was scary. Anyway, so
you were fighting him with a shovel?
Yeah, the shovel. He liked it. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Anyway, so we had these animals. My brother Andy. And I took my kids to the beach for a picnic, and he come out and put a head on the turkey, and we had the same thing. We had a pig that went bad too, and we had a pet pig, and it was a wiener pig. And pretty soon it was 230 pounds, and it was biting people, and you know, it was punching, knocking kids over and stuff. We got some food for me, and being a bully, so I had to put a head on that. Hit on the pig too.
Put a hit on him.
You had to take that pig out.
Yeah, I had
you guys sat down. You had a meeting.
You're right.
Yeah, we're
like, what's his daily routine? When can we catch this pig unawares?
Andy's my hitman.
Andy was the hitman.
The hitman, yeah. So,
how do you take out a pig? What do you have to do?
22, and so they came up, and they didn't have a gun or nothing. But so Eddie was trying to, and Andy was trying to put him in the back of a Subaru, and so. I came home from my little picnic, and they're coming down the driveway. There's no pig in the back of the Subaru. I go, no, go back up the hill. And so we got this pig, backed it up to the pen, and this pig ran under the car, wedged himself under the Subaru, and picked the whole Subaru up, the back end of the Subaru up, and it was screaming. And I couldn't believe how powerful that thing was. We finally get it in the back. Finally get it in the back of the Subaru and shut the door. And he's going down the driveway. The Subaru is rocking back and forth. Pig's out of control. he had a luau. He's all half of part Hawaiian, and he had a luau at his house. And I went. I snuck out there and ate some of the pig. It was really good. I wasn't allowed to. The girls could have been mad at me if they found out I ate the pig.
That's
barnyard animals go wrong.
Yeah, that's serious, man.
When animals are assholes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Then you go in the back of a Subaru, never to be seen again.
Rhode Island Redwood, you know, I seen it right in the top of this little kid that was visiting us. He's like 5 years old, and it's right on the back of his neck. This Rhode Island Red we had. And the day I took him out was a white owl, big snowy owl, landed on the top of the barn, and he was the first. He ran chickens over to get away. He was the first one running. Supposed to be protecting the chickens. And he's calling people, bullying everybody. So, call my brother up again. Anyway,
if you need to get rid of an animal, call
Andy.
You
need to get rid of him. Yeah, I got a guy. I got a number for you. I got a guy.
I'm watching a groundhog nibbling on some weeds in my backyard right now.
I think we better put a hit on this motherfucker.
Yeah.
He picks up. He eats the weeds, though. It's good.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He doesn't eat the grass. He eats the weeds. But he doesn't, like, eat them all because he's smart enough to eat enough but leave some so it'll grow back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a pretty smart little guy.
He's a conservationist.
He lives under my shed. And I feel like that's totally okay.
Yeah,
in fact, he's kind of like, we like him, you know?
Yeah.
The kids get excited when he comes out.
We had a weasel. It'd eat like a chicken every like 10 or 12 days. It'd eat a chicken. And those are cute little. I let him.
he would come and just take out one of the hens.
Like 30 chickens, yeah. So he'd just take out a hen, like a couple a month or whatever. But we had so many chickens, there's no way the eggs were just all over the place. You can't give enough eggs away. But you could have, if you had like two or three chickens, you never have to buy another egg ever again.
Yeah, and you're going to have some farm fresh.
Yeah, those are good eggs. Yeah,
goodness.
Exactly.
Chickens, man. When I was in Hawaii, we were on Kauai, and there are so many roosters on Kauai. It's amazing.
Really?
They're just walking around all over the place. Like full big cocks walking around. And they like going in and out of places. Like I was in a coffee shop. And I would swear that this rooster came in, and I would swear that he just like got in line behind me, like the way he was standing. I was like, he's in line. This fucking rooster's in line. And then another guy came in and stood behind him. I'm like, now he really is in line.
I'm eating my Mauna Loa nuts, and there's a cock behind me.
There's a cock. Up next, Rooster Cockburn.
That's great.
Yeah.
So he just stood in line. Did he get anything or returning an item?
He didn't actually make it all the way to the front. He made it to the curve in the line. He went toward the back, which is what he was after. He was going looking men's for room. Something in the back. Yeah, men's room.
Getting some coke in the men's room, probably.
He was looking for the business center.
Cockfight.
He had some bets to place.
Cockfight in the business.
But they're funny. They're just all over. You just kind of get used to them walking around amongst you. Huh.
So there's other mama chickens and baby chickens and everything all over there too then, right? Baby chicks everywhere.
No, that's the thing. That's the weird part.
It's roosters.
It's just roosters. Wow. It's like all the ladies were like, you know what? There's too many cocks on this island. I don't like my numbers, so I'm getting out of here.
If you're a gay bird, it's a great place to be.
There's also a lot of restaurants on that island, so maybe that's where some of them ended up.
I got to go check that out now.
It's cool. It's a beautiful place.
Put it on my bucket list.
You know what are cool animals that I've come across a couple times are foxes.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
And they're, have you ever heard of the fox, like the cry that a fox makes? It sounds, it's the most unnerving chilling sound I think I've ever heard. It sounds like a human baby screaming.
Huh. Wow.
It's like.
What?
It's this crazy noise. And if you've never heard it before, I bought my first house. It was like woods on three sides of it. And I had been living in Manhattan for a long time. We bought this house. We moved out. So every little noise to me was like, oh, my God, what's that? And we were carrying boxes up the steps in the front, and we heard a fox let out that wail. And we were, I mean, just for a second, we were like, we never should have moved. Yeah. We got to get back to the city, man.
Grab the realtor. Tell me who died in this house.
Yes, you son of a bitch. It's a bone-chilling noise. But I got used to it, eventually I got to where I had a light and I would go outside and like watch for stuff. I'm like, there's cool things cruising through this woods at night. And I can watch, shine the light on it. They're not going to bother me, you know. One night there were several foxes, 5, 6, 7, maybe 8, a whole bunch. They were way, like, I don't know, 200 yards away from me. But I had this ultimate flashlight that I had ordered online by typing into Google, ultimate flashlight. And it was super powerful. And they were like running in circles and jumping and yelping and nipping at each other.
Huh.
And it was crazy. There was like this weird little ritual, it seemed like, you know. They're all yelping and making those crazy cries. And it just shook me. Like I got goosebumps, you know. I was like, holy shit. I better go inside, you know. Like I don't feel like I was really in any real danger, but it was pretty...
When you shine a flashlight like on a predator's eyes, they're red, and if it's a like a deer or something, they're green. You ever notice? You notice that?
Oh well, these foxes were red.
Red eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, fire red. Because when I was out, we were hunting alligator down in Lake Okeechobee in Florida, and
you were hunting alligator.
And you can only hunt at night, and you have to harpoon them. You can't use a gun. And it's a lot of fun. And, but you can't really tell. Like, if their eyes are about 6 inches apart, they're like 10 or 12 feet long. You know, and the, but you can't really see how far away they are until you get up close to them. But then once in a while, we'll see a pig or a small deer, and they got green eyes. I mean, when you shine the light on them, it's green.
So they're green.
So you see red eyes, beware. Because green eyes, just a deer or something.
My
Right. Yeah, the red eyes are scarier, too, and I guess that's in our... somewhere instinctively in us. Yeah.
Yeah, we have red eyes, too. If like a bad camera flash and get the red eye.
That's a good point. Red predators.
Predators, you eat meat.
I had a buddy that went to, I think it was Egypt, and he was an American, and he's like, I'm going to go for a jog, right? There was like these dunes or something. So he's like, I'm going to go for a jog. And
typical American.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just going to go for a run. Yeah, he's stay in shape. It's like about to... He goes early because it's not too hot yet.
And like, what about the desert and political unrest?
Well, so the
sorry,
guy...
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, but it's... Exactly. So there's like a local dude there, and he's like, you know, where are you going? He's like, going for a jog. He's like, you don't... go for it. He's like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine, right? So he said he ran out a little bit, and he's a little way from whatever the town was, and there were these holes in the ground, right? But almost like a little cave. So he's running along, and out comes this little dog, and it looks at him, and it makes this noise like, yip, yip, and then it goes kind of back into the cave. And then he follows, he's jogging along, and more and more of these holes. So another dog comes out, yip, yip. So now these dogs start following him, right? And more and more and more of them. So soon he's got this pack of dogs following him, and he's like,
what?
Holy shit. And the first one starts nipping at his ankles, like in the back, like yip, yip, yip. And more of them are coming out of these holes. So now he has like this army of fucking dogs following him. Huh?
And they're coming out of little holes.
No, they were just dogs. They weren't wolves. They were some.
Like, no. He said coming out of holes.
Oh, coming out of holes. Yeah, in this like wall thing. So he basically had to climb up and run across the top of this wall while they're all, and it's all crumbly as shit. It's like mud. So every now and then he's like about to fall off, and they're waiting for him at the bottom, like yip, yip, snapping, you know, yip, yip, yip. But right when he got back to the edge of the town, they all went back in the holes. They were all like at the edge of the town. They're like, okay, we're out of our. Yeah, but
if
he was
they come
like,
out
man,
here, we can eat them.
Yeah.
If we go in there,
right.
They're going to eat us.
Yeah, wild dogs living in holes. He's just like, man, I was about to get eaten out there.
You know? Dude, this is pretty funny. We're talking about animals and pests and stuff. And
what's out there?
Dude, we've had this bird here at our house. He's got a nest. Like, I have this little privacy screen on the deck, and he's built his nest on the top of that underneath the overhang, and is a crazy bird now. Like, he attacks his reflection in the windows of the house, and he's pecking at all of them to the point that we're like, we got one of those fake owls to try to keep him away, but I can see him now. He's poking his head up and down. He's looking in here at us. On the last episode, Jonathan, we were in here, and I was pointing at the window and trying to figure out what these little claw marks or paw marks
all over the window.
All over the whole window to my studio are. It's from this bird. It's from this crazy bird, man. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes and starts pecking on the window.
Crackhead bird.
While we're in here talking about crazy animals.
From Jersey.
You need to call my brother Andy up.
I will put a hit on this bird. I got a BB gun. I'll take him out. I'll take that little bastard out.
I always feel bad. I just let my brother do it. Pull the trigger.
Yeah,
I don't know how good I would feel about it either.
We had to go put his dog down.
Oof.
So we give him one ride through town, and we take his name Sluggo. He was a good dog, lab mix. And so we take him for a ride through town, back of the truck, and take him down to Bishop Beach. And Andy just couldn't pull the trigger at it. And so after six more rides through town, the beach six times, he just couldn't do it. Neither of us could shoot him. So we ended up taking him into the vet and getting a shot. And that was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible way to go, but he could barely walk or see anymore.
I don't know why I think
of that one. I didn't mean to depress everybody, but it's hard to do that.
No. Yeah. It's fine. It is hard to do that. I can't imagine doing that to your own dog.
I had a vet come and come to the house.
We just want them to go quick and painless.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they come to the house. That's nice. Because if you take them to the vet, they know what's going on.
They get stressed out in the vet.
My dog knew, man. Yeah. My dog was like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm not going there.
Get my nuts cut off.
Yeah.
Their first visit, they usually go there and get their nuts cut off. Damn it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's tough with the dogs.
They remember that.
I had a friend in college that grew up on a farm, and they had an old hound dog that was so old. They did the same kind of thing that you're talking about. They were gonna put him down, and I can't remember what they did to him, but it was pretty awful. They didn't shoot him or something. They like hit him over the head or whatever. And then they went off into town, left him, and then when they got home, the dog was sitting on the porch.
Oh, no.
Oh,
shit. Oh, my God.
And they were like, maybe he's in better shape than we thought. And then they had the dog for like three or four more years.
Oh, shit. What?
Oh, shit.
They had to put him down. They hit him over the head with a fucking pipe. And then he just walked back to the house. So they kept him for three or four more years until he died.
Dogs never remember who put him in the kennel. They only remember who let him out. They hit him over the head. He still runs home.
Yeah, yeah. He has no idea. Wait, those are the people that just tried to kill you. You're going back there for help?
God damn.
Oh, that's crazy. That's country living, man.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up, Jonathan, that all this stuff was happening?
In Homer, Alaska. It's a little tiny town in south central Alaska.
Homer, right.
We have moose right downtown, bears, black bears, you know, crap everywhere.
It's like northern exposure. There's a moose walking through town.
Exactly. Exactly, like three or four moose.
You have a Jewish doctor from New York who's the town doctor.
I remember that show.
And an astronaut.
Yeah.
That was a great show. I love that show.
Yeah.
We got to get an astronaut.
Is it true that this buddy went to Alaska, I don't know, it was like to do the cleanup or whatever, and he came back, his girlfriend was like, I want you to bring me something that's super Alaska-ish, and he brought back these earrings made of moose shit. They were petrified moose shit.
Remember all those moose shit things? He calls it mooseltoe. He picks up moose pellets and puts it on a couple leaves, you know, little leaves on it, and calls it mooseltoe instead of mistletoe.
And it's moose shit.
Sells it everywhere. Yeah, it's moose shit. He sells it. Earrings.
This guy's a genius.
This guy's selling moose shit. Yeah. We're paying $10 for a couple nuggets.
A couple of nuggets of moose shit.
$10, yeah.
That is an entrepreneur right there. That's like the Pet Rock. That's the modern day Pet Rock. It's even better. It's shit.
It's better.
That guy made millions of dollars, the guy that sold rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just stupid.
So crazy.
I remember we had one at the house, so one of our family bought one, so at one time.
We had a pet rock, just a rock with a piece of felt glued to it, right?
Yeah.
Or did it not even have felt? It was just a rock.
My wife bought an incense holder, and it was a rock with, it like Banana Republic, because something was like $40 or whatever. And I'm like, that's a rock with fucking holes drilled in it. You know, it's an incense holder.
One of those.
Yeah.
So, we have rocks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like these guys, I can't remember where I was, upstate somewhere. And there's a sign, there's a big pile of dirt, and it just says dirt, you know, however much per load or yard. And I'm just like, that's pretty funny, you're selling dirt.
Oh, you just go get your dirt, then you pay when you get your dirt.
You load up. Yeah, I need some dirt. I have some dirt at my house already, but I need more dirt.
More dirt.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to get some dirt from you.
Hey, this phone might go dead on me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just gave me that weird noise.
It sounds just like a truck
backing up. That's what I was thinking. It's a Tells joke.
I got 10% left.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what are you up to, man? Where are you heading next?
I'm flying here to Missouri to do a big fireworks shoot.
Oh yeah. Can people check that out somewhere, or is that just live in person?
We'll put it on the Time Bandit site. So if they want to just next week, in about a week, check out the go to timebandit.com or whatever, and you'll be able to see. I'll have a post on there, a fireworks shoot for you.
Cool. So, and they can keep up with you that way and see what you're doing.
Yeah, if you want to check out the kids' books, you can go there too.
That's all at timebandit.com.
Yeah, I always forget about those books, and then they're good books, though.
They're fun, man. Great. And plus, all the names are people that I know.
Yeah.
Like, there's a walrus named Keith. That's pretty awesome.
Keith Coburn, yeah.
If you know Keith, you're like, oh, my God, a walrus? It's perfect.
There's Wild Bill and Josh Harris. Josh is a monkey, and Wild Bill's an elephant.
That's great.
The Wild Bill's going, how come I'm an elephant? And I go, dude, you're 300 pounds. What, do you want to be a cricket? You're the elephant. A squirrel or nothing.
So what are you on Twitter?
On Twitter, I think I'm Captain Jonathan. Jonathan on Twitter.
Cool. Well, good, man. Good luck with everything, and be safe out there. Are you done? You're going to be on land for a while?
Yeah. Next thing I do is salmon in the month of July, and then October we go back fishing again. So I really can't wait till next year because I'm getting this quota for North St. Lawrence Island quota. I think I'm working on this for years now, and got some crab in a different area all alone without any boats around me.
So you're going back out?
Yeah. Every year I say I quit. I hate it out there.
But then you're going to go back.
Yeah, then I go back.
And the show's going strong on Discovery still?
Yeah, I think so. It's been a good season. I watched the first two. I missed the last night's episode, but they're pretty good. And I know how bad it gets and all the troubles and tribulations everyone's got to go through. And it's just going to be – I'm definitely watching. I recorded it, so I'm going to watch that tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, man. It's a great show largely because you guys are a great bunch of guys, man.
So yeah.
Be safe, man. Thanks for doing the show.
Nice to meet you, dude. Nice to meet you.
For this episode of Tall But True, you can catch up with me and what I'm doing at therealbenbailey.com. I'm Real Ben Bailey on social media. If you haven't subscribed to Tall But True yet, please do. DC Benny.
Real DC Benny.
Is Real DC Benny across the board.
Yes.
So come see us at the Hollywood Improv in Hollywood, California on June 2nd at 8 p.m., guys. Thanks for listening. That's it for this episode of Tall But True. Take care. All right, Jonathan. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks, man. I had fun.
Yeah, it was cool. It was great. Those are great stories, man.
Where you at, June 2nd? Where are you at?
In L.A. at the Hollywood Improv.
Hollywood Improv. Okay, I'll try to make that.
Okay. Oh, that'd be great, dude.
Yeah. You'll have a ticket for me if I come down, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. VIP, buddy.
Okay, cool. Badass. Okay, man.
All right.
Awesome. Take care, dude.
Be good. Take care.
Okay, bye.